eyes had made.
Love on me.
Only then will I be free.
Love on me.
Oh, she was hiding me, and every girl face I see.
Love on me.
And we're back, season four of the Bow River Brigade podcast. My name is Shafe. Doogie, back with me in the studio. Been too long.
As always, yes, yes, it has been too long. It's good to be back, and it's good to be watching Canadian Premier League soccer again. How about that?
Absolutely. I don't know if the seasons or the off seasons are going by faster or they're getting shorter, but like April 9th, we're already back in the flow of things, getting the first game of the season going.
Probably getting older, I think.
The new kits are out and the cavalry are on their away stretch right now out east wearing the Army Green.
Yeah, Army Green is back and it seems to have... seems to have gotten a good reception. I think, I think a lot of the cavalry fans are happy to see that Army Green back. You know, the black kits, they were nice, mm-hmm. liked them, loved them. But that Army Green, it really screams cavalry, doesn't it?
It is. It's a callback to the original 2019 away kit, which is awesome. One of my favorite kits out there. You know, I did kind of think, I'm like, oh, it's just a repeat, you know, same old. Both of their kits, they aren't anything new that we haven't done before. So I was a little bit disappointed in the way kit. I would have liked maybe a white or something, green, like accents. But no, it's still nice.
Yeah, you know, they didn't do anything too crazy or too outlandish with these kits. They kind of stuck to the template. Yep. But they do fill the purpose, and I think, you know, they show cavalry colors, they show everything, right? I do agree with you, you know, a little maybe more white on the red kit would have been nice.
Change
But, you know, I gotta say, I love the Army Green. It's not, it's not maybe quite as nice as the original 2019, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I loved that, that off camo pattern that they had on the original kit. Yeah. But
Chevron kind of thing on the front of these ones, it just like, once I see the M, how it like kind of lines up to just look like an M on the front of the jersey, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, you just ruined it for me, Shafe. Now it's done. No. Yeah, you know, the chevron, it's a good touch. As I said, it's not my favorite. I loved the camo pattern on the first one, but the thing that I do think looks very smart, the red trim on the arm and the red trim on the collar there. Ooh, that really really pops out on that camo green or that Army Green, I guess, not camo green, and the black cuffs.
Yeah, when I saw it on the field, I actually went, okay, yeah, that looks very nice. If I was going to get a kit this year, I probably will. It might be that green one because it's just one of the nicer ones. I like that.
Yeah, I must say I did actually. I splurged and I got one at the jersey unveiling, which was a great event, by the way. If you guys missed that, you know, keep your eye out next year. It's always a fun event. They bring in all the new players come in. You get to meet a few of them. Mm-hmm. They're all mingling around the pub. Great time, great nice. Time. But the reason I figured I had to get it is the original Army Green, I have my last name on the back. So I figured I'd get an Army Green one with a player name on it at some point.
We'll talk a little bit more about the kits in a little bit here, kind of break down who the winners and the losers are in the kits of 2022. Let's start off and talk a little about some of these new signings, some of the new familiar faces or some that will become familiar to us. Coming in from Auckland City, Meyer Bevan. He is joining the squad, or Bevan, I'm not sure. I'm really bad with last names and guessing how they're pronounced sometimes. Just ask my boss.
We didn't get to see him in the first match, no. But I really think he's going to prove to be a good signing for us. From the highlights and things that I've seen, he looks like a pure out-and-out striker. He looks like a goal scorer, and we have had that, but we've also lacked that a bit from, you know, secondary players. You know, we do have our Joe Mason, and we know he can score goals, but it's nice to maybe have a backup guy or even somebody to work in tandem with him who knows how to put the ball in the net. I mean, he's had some caps for New Zealand. He's also, I believe he did a tournament with New Zealand where he finished as the top scorer in that tournament.
Nice.
It was all the, you know, the Asian Pacific teams, but he could be very important for us, and I foresee some big goals coming from him.
And another familiar face that was playing on the other side of the province up north before Fraser Aird joining the Cavalry this year, and he got a little bit of field time in that first game. And, you know, he's one of those, like, key squad players. You know, he just gets down, gets the work done. So he had a good game in the first run.
Yeah, box-to-box midfielder. And, you know, I think he really made FC Edmonton tick. Like, everything that I watched the last year that he was there went through him. And tell the truth, I was a little bit surprised that, you know, Edmonton didn't end up retaining him and keeping him on the squad. And very happy to see him down in Calgary here, you know, sporting the Cavalry red and green. It's he's going to be a big player for us, and, you know, his set piece plays are definitely invaluable, especially with how much Cavalry in the past has used set plays to their advantage.
And Charlie Trafford coming to the Cavalry from, where's he from here? He's from that team that Ryan Reynolds and McElhaney own. I can't remember what the name is. Was it Rexingham? Wrexham?
Wrexham AFC. Yeah. Yes, indeed. He has met some of the movie stars and worked for them. No, Charlie looks to be an absolutely wonderful signing. You know, he's had some experience in the Scottish League. He's played over there, had quite a few caps with those leagues, and he didn't see any time, unfortunately, with Wrexham, but he looks like he's still, you know, he's still kept fit while he was over there and maybe got some invaluable training with those types of teams. So
yeah, his comedic timing is on point now.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. He's going to be hitting all those punchlines. You know it.
Yeah, and Julian Roloff coming in from one of your favorite teams. Actually, I think you're even wearing one of their kits right now, and he played a big role in the first game.
Yeah, Shafe, I am. Esta FC Köln. He played for the number two team, and Köln in the past few years have had some very, very good keepers come through their ranks, and, you know, he looks to be one of them. He's started the season, looks comfortable with the squad, and I think he's just going to get more and more comfortable, and I think he's going to be an invaluable signing for us, especially with some of the things that we've had happen with Marco Carducci being out for a bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, nice to see that Marco was actually in the subs. You know, if he was needed, I guess he's fit enough to play. I know he had surgery after a medical operation and that, so back in the squad. But, you know, I love to see that we have some strong backup keepers right now, and Roloff looked great in the first game.
Yeah, he definitely did. And you know, Marco was out at the kit unveiling and the squad unveiling, and he looked his usual self. You know, he was in quite good spirits, and we definitely wish the best to him for that.
And then we have Gene Anil SC coming in from Montreal on loan, and he saw a little bit of time. I think he got subbed in near the end of that first game against Ottawa. So it was hard to really see how he's going to play, but another addition at them. I'm not sure how old he is, maybe a bit of a younger addition for the squad here.
Actually, Shafe, he is one of the younger people on the squad, and he actually holds the record for CF Montreal youngest player to appear in a Canadian championship game. So,
great.
Yeah, he has a big future ahead of him, and as we've seen with some players like the guy that we're going to mention next, FC Montreal or CF Montreal, they produce some quality players, and they definitely know how to build up youth talent.
Yeah, and another player that we have on loan from the Impact, I'll say it, if you're not going to, I'll say it, Karifa Yao, back with us again for another season on loan, FC Montreal, CF Montreal, Impact, saw some talent in Yao, picked him up, and now he's back with us again on loan.
Yeah, and, you know, he seems like he's picked up exactly where he left off. Yao has been a very important addition to our team last year especially, and you know he's going to play a big part this year. And yeah, he looks comfortable and he looks ready to go. So that's all you can ask for from a guy like him. And he'll be mucking it up in both ends of the boxes, and we're going to be relying on him at the back, definitely.
Yeah, and one last player to mention that's on development contract from Calgary Foothills, Skyler Rogers. I don't know much about this player, but always developing the young talent in the Cavs has been crucial for our success so far as a club.
Yeah, we haven't seen much of him as of yet, and there will be some to come for sure. Mm-hmm. But from, you know, what we've seen in the past, we have very well scouted the right opportunities and scouted the right types of players, and he could be one of those. You know, like we've had Victor Latoure come in, we've had some of the other young guns coming in from Calgary Foothills. So Foothills is, you know, don't write somebody off that comes up from that league. They're coming in ready to play and coming in to prove something, and yeah. I think Skyler will.
Yeah, our club's built off of Foothills' foundation of our club, and it's great to have that pipeline coming directly into our lineup.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, you know, we wish the best to all the new signings, and we wish the best to some of the signings that, you know, moved on. Like, mm-hmm. You know,
Farsi.
Yeah, we saw Mohamed Farsi off into the MLS with Columbus Crew. So,
yeah. You
know, we wish him and everybody else the best, and we're looking forward to seeing these new signings hit the pitch and show what they can do for Cavalry FC.
Yeah, lost a few people. We also lost Martin Nash from the coaching staff. He went to take the top job at York FC. And, you know, we also had to say goodbye to the captain. Nick Ledgerwood hangs up the cleats. It's a career for him, and he's moving into a new role with the club.
Yeah, but you know, the captain always goes down with his ship.
That's
and
right.
He is still on the team, and he's still working with us, and, you know, he seems more dedicated than ever. You know, this is a guy who puts his heart on his sleeve, and he comes out every day, comes out to play, you know, and it's great to see that he's stuck with the club and he's stepping up in a role where he can rub off some of these attributes to some of the young guns coming in, and even some of the guys that, you know, he's worked with in the past and played with in the past.
Yeah, new assistant coach in the Cavalry, Nick, taking the ranks and behind the bench. So best of luck to him, and we'll still see him all the time. And yeah, the new captains have been announced. So congratulations, Mason Trafford is the new captain, and our co-captains, Marco Carducci, Charlie Trafford, and David Norman Jr. So that's fantastic. You seeing that Charlie Trafford comes in, is already taking on a leader role with the club, is great.
Oh, big time. I mean, every time that there was a moment that needed somebody talking to the referee or asking or clarifying any sort of calls or issues, Charlie was stuck in. And I mean, you know, he looks you know, a spitting image of his cousin Mason there.
Yep.
And those two guys couldn't be better captains, as along with, you know, David Norman Jr. we saw last year really stepped up in a leadership role, and Marco Carducci has always mm-hmm. always been a leader for us, you know, guiding everything from the back, and he's somebody who really, really just cares about this club. So those are the types of guys that you want in the captain role, and congratulations to them. We look mm-hmm. forward to the year under their helm.
Cavalry start off the season not as we would have liked. First game on the 9th away in Ottawa. You know, and Ottawa started out really strong, came out on the front foot with a lot of long-distance attempts. You know, they're looking really strong off the hop there. You know, Julian Roloff had to come out with a big save. I mean, that was a heater.
Yeah, he really belted it from long distance. And, you know, sometimes those balls can be tough to track. The way that they get dips and swerves on them with these guys, when they smash it, it can go anywhere. And he did a good job, you know. His job is to make the initial save,
yeah.
So he did a good job, and he parried it out a fair distance, which is good, but unfortunately it fell right to the foot of Balu Tabla, and as we know, talking about CF Montreal players,
mm-hmm.
he can be a dangerous player. We've seen him do a little bit for Canada. We've seen him do a little bit for CF Montreal, and that's not necessarily the foot you want it to land on, but lucky for us, his follow-up shot ricochets off the bar and Roloff, ends up getting out of that one.
Yeah, and he's control those rebounds a little bit better, but, you know, we got away with that one, and that's what counts. Nothing in the back of the net yet. You know, 16th minute there, good chance for the Cavs. Faced with a hard decision, Joe Mason goes down just a foot outside the box there, and it was the right call by the ref. It wasn't a penalty, and we didn't really capitalize on it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I thought it was the right call. Unfortunately, you know, he timed it well, and he got to him before he got into the box.
Professional foul.
It was. It definitely was. And, you know, and it saw a yellow card, which probably should have.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we need to definitely, in games like this, we need to take advantage of some of those opportunities. And unfortunately, David Norman Jr.'s shot went high and over the bar and was never really going to test our familiar face of Nathan Ingham.
I'm getting offended by the "you can't make friends with a man bun" chant and at the pub there. You know, it is offensive to some of us. That's all I'm saying. I almost had to take my hair down. You know, Cavalry continues still on the strong foot there. Sergio Camargo, healthy, back in the lineup. Good to see him in the starting squad as well, and he was doing a little bit of dancing, looking good on the ball. Went down there, I think it was in the 18th minute, inside the box. I think the ref got it right. I probably wouldn't have given him a card for diving, but I'm not sure that was a penalty.
Yeah, it's a tough rule, tough call, you know. If you don't give the penalty, You almost have to insinuate that he's dove and he's embellishing. But, you know, it was combination. It was a clumsy challenge. Regardless of whether he tripped him and hit him, his foot popped out the Atletico defender. Yeah. And on another day, you see that get called, but regardless of whether it was a call or not, you know, Camargo he's doing his usual stuff, and he's challenging defenders, running at defenders, and, you know, making them make the move, right? And he's good at that. We've seen him draw penalties like that all throughout the years. But personally, I thought it was a foul, and, you know, I thought it could have been a penalty, but Without VAR, it's really tough to call something like that. And I agree with the points you've made, and I see why it didn't get called.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed he kind of shrugged off harder challenges just during that play, and to go down that one almost seemed a little soft. So I can understand why it wasn't called. You know, I was at the Rose and Crown for this one. The rest of the bar did not understand why that was not called.
Yeah, well, and you can see why that as well. You know, you can get shoved and get pushed in your upper body, that kind of thing, or, you know, have a shoulder on shoulder with somebody, but it doesn't take much in the feet, just a little clip to throw you off if you're mid-stride, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really fair point. You know, hit him low and chop him out at the base there, and you tumble over. And especially when you're going at a clip trying to make the ball, you're leaning forward as it is, and you have a toe stepped on, you have an ankle kicked, or just take you off your stride. That's a really good point.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll talk about stepping on toes later here, but It could have gone either way, and I don't think I would, you know, burn the ref at the stake, crucify him for not making the call.
But if you cross us again.
Yeah, but if he does it again, we'll be finding him in the parking lot, right?
Let's talk about Malcolm Shaw. He was great in the first year that Ottawa came to the league, and he had a really strong performance, I think, against the Cavalry.
Yeah, he, in my opinion, he looked the big man, the man that you need to mark against Atletico, and everything in open play that seemed to come on net or seemed to be a really good opportunity for scoring seemed to be at his foot. And we've seen he can score goals, and he will do so. And I don't doubt that he's going to, you know, he's going to get some goals this year and could even challenge for something like the Golden Boot. You know, he could be one of those underdog or, you know, unpredicted performers that might surprise some people, because he looks hungry and he has a lot of quality and a lot of talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 20% off your first order. Lazybake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. Lazy Bake, baking made easy.
And Cavalry did have their chances, you know, in that first half. 29th minute, Cavalry again comes so close. Camargo finishes a late run of the box, but shot just fizzles, and they don't actually get that last finishing touch that we need. We just need to tighten our game up a bit.
Yeah, you know, the announcers were saying that they thought maybe Camargo should have even had a shot possibly from there, and, you know, just see where the rebound bounces to, or maybe even get lucky and he mishandles it. But I also think Joe Mason wasn't really predicting or anticipating the ball that way, and if he was more alert, I think that could have been easily a goal, and that's the kind of goal that Joe Mason scores. So it was a little odd to see him a bit flat-footed in the 6-yard box standing there, but I think those things are going to slowly start coming together. You know, some of these players are coming in off a long off season or haven't played together or still trying to find where they are in this formation, this lineup, that kind of thing. As we know, Tommy's no stranger to switching up lineups, to, you know, shuffling the cards. So
I wish he had shuffled the cards a little bit more in this game. I think he only made 2 substitutions, but by the end of the first half, it was already kind of turning into a snooze fest. You know, just kind of a lackluster performance. I'm not saying Cavalry didn't still have their shots, their chances into the second half, but it just didn't seem like there was a lot of momentum. It just didn't seem like there was a lot of fire in them, a lot of like, and on their shots. I know Moosey had a few nice ones in the 50th minute, and he just didn't have enough pepper on it. I think he could be a great player for us this year if he can just find the power in his shot.
Yeah, and you're right. It did kind of fall into a bit of a lull, and, you know, I think that they dominated up to the 50th minute, and I think, you know, they were dominating possession. They just didn't quite have that cutting edge, you know, goal-scoring chance that you were talking about. Ali Moosey, as you said, dances forward around a couple defenders and finds a little bit of space, far out, mind you. You know, he smashes the ball inside of the foot, though, so as you said, maybe not quite as much power as needed for a shot from that distance. And I kind of also thought he could have maybe broke Joe Mason in, who, as I've said, he's always going to be looking to straddle that line and looking for those through balls. But, to be fair, Moosey got the shot towards net, and it was actually one of the closer chances that we'd seen up to this minute. So
up to that minute, but a few minutes later, Joe Mason has probably the best opportunity of the match for the Cavalry. Definitely his best opportunity of the game. The ball falls to him right in the box, 63rd minute, and he can't seem to get anything off of it. Nothing on target.
Yeah, that seems a little unlike Joe. You know, that's where he likes it. Although,
just maybe a wasted opportunity.
Maybe that's the curse of getting it at the penalty spot. Oh. I mean, we won't go into too much detail about the previous season, but I think he's going to find his stride. And, you know, I think that ball, he just didn't get it settled the way that he likes it, and when he swiped at it, he just didn't get the Joe Mason connection that we've come to expect. But it's showing some of his qualities and showing how he knows where to be, and he really can anticipate a lot of times where that ball is going to fall to. And that's something that I think is going to become very important, and he will find his finishes and he will get goals for us. Just didn't get it at this moment.
And soon after, 64th minute, Malcolm Shaw again looking great for Ottawa. He has a big attempt on net and just lays right into the arms of Julian Ruloff. So, you know, we got to mark up Malcolm Shaw. He's going to be a threat. And he had too many opportunities in this game to make us pay for it.
Yeah, you know, he had a couple opportunities right there. One where he was battling in the box and just kind of got, I guess the cavalry defender stuck with him and threw him off just enough that when he did swipe at the ball, all he was able to get was a chip shot into Roloff's hands. But, you know, he had a driven header as well in the 86th minute, actually. And on another day, you know, that could be going into the ground and into the net. Lucky for us, you know, it went right to Roloff, who has shown, you know, he showed his prowess with knowing where to be and where to cut down the angles. He didn't make any outstanding or, you know, highlight reel saves, but sometimes the highlight reel is in knowing where to be. Mm-hmm. And he was there. He was there for all those types of opportunities. And the opportunity that they needed to beat him was a penalty.
Speaking of penalties, let's talk about that penalty.
Well, it's a bold call from the referee.
Oh, such a bold call from the referee. This commentator, I don't know if he's new, but he is so on point.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if it was quite a bold call.
Oh,
such
a bold call.
I would have probably called that. Although they didn't call a play like that against Maradona, and he won the World Cup, right?
Hey, but that was the hand of God. I don't think Escalante can qualify for that one. With this Superman, I don't know what he was doing. Left out to dry by the defenders, who probably had only like a couple times there to clear their lines.
Yeah, very lackadaisical play from the Cavalry defense. And, you know, that's something we don't often see by them. They're usually pretty good at clearing their lines and setting back up. But they must have had three chances at least to do that, and they failed at all of them.
Yeah, and then it is Escalante kind of getting up off the ground. I don't know what he was doing, if he was trying to block a shot or...
Yeah, it was a driven cross across the box, and I think Jose Escalante was really trying to get to the ball just before it got to the Atletico offender, and... Yeah, he did not get there, and then he finds himself on his belly in the box.
Yeah, he hops up, and then kind of a last-ditch effort to jump across, put his body in the way, which, you know, respect, you know, throw your body in the way, sacrifice the body, but he did it with his dang hands out in front of him.
Yeah, and you have to know where your hands are in the box. It's, you know, professional-level soccer. The refs are always looking for that, and we've seen ones that very borderline, you know, the guy's not trying to get their arm in the way. This one didn't even look that. It, you know, he supermanned, and it, his hands were not in a good position, and that's a penalty every day.
Every day, except if you're at the Rosencrown like I was. Everyone in the pub completely agreed that was a bold call by the ref. Come on. Like, I have some objectivity when it comes to watching your sports. If you're like, no, my team can never be fouled. We are perfect. And how dare a ref besmirch the name of the Cavalry?
That's a bold statement, Chase. That's a bold statement.
Bold statement. No. I don't know. One soccer's getting worse, though. I was actually looking back at some of the highlights. And when you pull up their opening coming into the show, their mic check is on air. They're like, check for opening, check 1-2, check for opening. Guys, you're supposed to be a professionalish broadcast corporation here.
Yeah, I missed that one. I think I tuned into the game. I was in the 12th minute or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like everyone's a little bit rusty from this offseason. I'll
give them that. A little rusty. Let's chop it up to a little rusty.
Let's hope that things are onward and upward from there, but we'll have to see.
It wasn't onward and upward for the Cavalry, though. That's 1-0. Ottawa is up 80th minute, and pretty much the game was set and done. Even though the Cavalry were given opportunity to actually go a man up after the goon, Drew Becky, strikes again.
Yeah, in the 85th minute. I mean, Drew Becky, he's such an interesting player. You know, he did some great defending, and he actually caught a header that was, you know, easy goal scoring opportunity that he tracked back and cleared off of out of the Atletico box. But then he goes and does something like this. 5 minutes left in the 85th minute. Drew Becky stomps on David Norman Jr. While he's mean mugging him right in the face. It's, you know, it's so obvious. You have to shake your head at it. And I mean, by doing this, he's a liability, and he puts all the pressure on his teammates now because they have to cover for him. Unfortunately for Cavalry, you know, they couldn't find that goal, but you could just see that possibility that Cavalry gets a goal. He's going to be going back to the change room, and he's going to be getting an earful from not only his teammates, but from his coach and probably even from the fans.
Bench him.
I mean, just a stupid, stupid play. Yeah. And, you know, nothing like his sister would do for Canada. But
all class.
Yeah, so we know where the which sibling got which, right? I think he might
have the talent and who got the goonishness.
Well, I think he might have been possibly a bit of the bully in the family, right? Because he shows it on the pitch. That was an ugly, ugly, ugly play. I, you know, as I said, I can't emphasize enough. If a Cavalry player had have done that, I would be livid.
Oh, yeah.
What a liability. And like I say, he's just leaving his teammates out to dry. Luckily, they were able to pull through, and, you know, Cavalry falls in the end 1-0 to Atletico Ottawa.
Yeah, not the way we wanted to start the season. And, you know, this stat surprised me is that Atletico now have 4 wins in all time appearances against the Cavalry. We've only seen them 5 times, and they've beat us 4 out of 5.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know exactly what it is that Cavalry seems to struggle against with Atletico. We haven't seemed to be able to get their number, and they seem to have ours.
Yeah, and when we look at the Cavalry's performance in this game, like, there are some standouts, but they didn't really connect. They seem to actually need to work together, figure out what the flow is of this team, because there seems to be some, you know, some chemistry that still needs to be built in this Cavalry side.
Oh, for sure, Shafe. And I mean, a lot of these standout players, if you think about it, how much have they played with Cavalry and played under the Cavalry system? You know, we see Ali Moussi, who he looked hungry. He never stopped running. You know, he's bringing some offensive grit and creativity, but how much playing time did he see last year with his, you know, his injury, that kind of thing? So I think he still needs a little bit of time to get in. Charlie Trafford, I think he looked great in a Cavalry shirt.
Yeah.
You know, he had a couple great headers, had one that easily another day could have been, you know, just picks the corner a little bit more, could have been a goal. And then he had the great overhead bicycle kick.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of these new faces are already looking like they're paying off. Obviously, Julian Roloff in between the pipes was on point. And, you know, nothing against his play. His play was, I thought, fantastic. His defenders really needed to come to his aid more and actually help him out a little bit more. And we have Fraser Ayer joining the team here, and he looks like he's going to fit right into the side and could be a really invaluable player for some of these set pieces.
Yeah, having somebody like Fraser Ayer to, you know, to back up or to fill in for David Norman Jr. when maybe it's a set piece at an angle that David Norman doesn't normally like to take them from, or this or that. Fraser Aird looks like he could be that guy, and he's shown that with his previous clubs. I mean, he was the one that sent in the cross to Charlie Trafford and could have been a goal. He was flying crosses in nonstop all game. They just didn't seem to fall for us, and we didn't, as you said earlier, didn't have that cutting edge ruthlessness offensively to take our chances.
But the Cavalry, they did look sharp on the field, like we were saying, in those away kits. What are you thinking of the new kits this year, my friend?
Well, I think there's some really nice kits out there, actually. You know, Macron makes some pretty cool designs, and they don't seem to just be, you know, the classic template that maybe, you know, Juventus is wearing this year and we just copied the template, or whoever, Man United is wearing this template and Cavalry just copies that template.
Yeah, actually some like original looking kits, some really great ones, some, you know, repeats. But what I really liked about this run of kits this year, 100% made out of recycled plastics. Fantastic.
Yeah, I do like that. I do like that, Shafe. And I know you said that was a big selling point to you. And I think that is a big selling point to a lot of people. We want to take care of our environment, and we want these green fields to be able to play soccer on. And you know, not all of us can play in a stadium, so even, you know, just a field out there that has less plastic and less garbage on it, that's that's a pro for everyone. So
Valor are going to sell me their jerseys every single year, it seems. If I were their fan, I would have quite the collection. They definitely win for home kits, in my opinion, this year, and I think they probably did last year too.
Yeah, myself, I had Valor a close second. I'm a sucker for the PFC kits.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I love the purple, and I think they never miss either on their kits. And this year they had kind of a you know, like a fir tree, spruce tree kind of design. Oh, I thought that looked smart as hell.
And that's why they came in at my number two. So, you know, we just had those two swapped. And then I have Cavs in at number three. That classic red is looking nice. A lot better than I thought they did last year with the red, you know. And I like having a nice red jersey in the mix.
Yeah, and the sash is nice. I had, you know, Cavalry came in fourth on mine. I had a Halifax Wanderers kit.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, I'm a Spurs fan, but I gotta say, I love the toned armbands, you know, kind of the Arsenal look, as sad to say. I think it's a really, really classy kit look, and they have those white armbands on the blue body. I think it looks really smart.
I have a surprise in at number four for me. I actually really liked York United's jersey. I thought it was just simple, looked classic, but then that stripe right in the middle also had like the cityscape on it. I thought it was a real smart one. So they're coming in at number four for me, followed by Halifax.
York really stepped them up, in my opinion. I liked the York kit. That was number five for me. And then followed by, it's plain, it's simple, but followed by the FC Edmonton kit.
Me too.
Yeah. So, and then to round it off at the bottom for me, Atletico Ottawa, it's nothing new. I don't, you know, the only draw for me, if I was an Atletico Ottawa fan, to get a new kit would be to get a new player on the back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it looks the same as my kit last year, looks the same as my kit before. So, you know, they were number seven. Forge FC, the orange, the full orange doesn't do it for me. It is nice. I don't mind, you know, like I don't mind a Netherlands kit, but it had all these weird designs on it. Wasn't my favorite. That fell to eighth for me.
Yeah, but those nice bright orange kits will be really easy to run around. We train that, you know, we run around pylons all day long.
Exactly, Shafe. So we'll be ready for that when it comes next week. Then moving on, we've seen a couple third kits along with all the alternate kits. What did you think, Shafe, about some of those?
I haven't seen them all yet, but the ones that I have seen, number one for me, Pacific FC. I just think this is a phenomenal kit. It's original. It's bold. It looks pretty sharp on the pitch, too. You know, sometimes the mock-ups, you're like, I don't know about this. But once you see it on the field, looks very good. Cavalry's kit, you know, I thought it was a little bit of a letdown. But again, looks good on the field.
Yeah, I personally thought Cavalry stole the show again. The Army Green is one of my favorites. Funny enough, Pacific dropped to third for me in alternate third kits.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the York FC alternate kit. If you haven't seen that, Shafe, check it out. It's wonderful tone of green with some blues in there. And yeah, that kit, I thought they finally found their niche on kits, because York hasn't necessarily had the nicest kits, in my opinion, over the last few years. But with both their home and their alternate kit this year, I think they really did a good job.
Yeah, they stepped it up quite a bit. And you know, I'm just realizing it, that Atletico Ottawa kit, we saw them playing them on the first game, was actually just for Ukraine. I think it was a special event, special kit for the opening game. I actually quite liked it. I thought it was a smart design, the blue accents on the little points, the yellow. You know, it was a pretty decent kit. I'm now realizing that's not actually their alternative kit. I'm looking some stuff up now, looking at Atletico Ottawa's alternative kit. It's a lackluster blue. I think that's the actual color name.
Yeah, you almost would hope those were the kits. I mean, they did these special yellow and blue kits in support of Ukraine, and apparently the proceeds and the sales of the jerseys, and there was a pay-what-you-can admission to that game, will all go to support humanitarian assistance. So that's wonderful to hear, and to tell the truth, Shafe, I liked those better than I liked the blue one.
100%. You know, and looking at some of these other alternative kits here, Valor FC, whoever is designing those Valor kits definitely knows what they're doing. That white with the gold accents, simple. I like it.
Yeah, no, it looks good. Funny enough, one of my favorite kits are either the FC Edmonton alternate kit. Again, it's got those Arsenal type arms to it, a white kit with blue, light blue arms.
That's nice, yeah.
I really liked their orange kit. It's a bit bold. It's a bit crazy.
It looks a little bit almost like a Netherlands kit, you know, that orange. But knowing that it's a throwback to, what was it, the FC, the Edmonton Drillers or something like that?
Yeah, definite throwback to the Edmonton Drillers, who operated from 1979 to 1982. I think that's a super smart kit. I love the orange and I love the blue accents. And it looks great with the FC Edmonton logo on it. That was one that, for me, that stood out as well. But like I say, my favorite kits out of the alternate and the thirds would be Cavalry FC, followed by York United, and then a close third, that Pacific FC crazy design kit.
Yeah.
And boy, did that one look good beating Forge, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And their alternative kit, just another again repeat. It's some gray kit with some orange accents. But if somebody needs to hire that Valor designer, that's all I'm saying. All right, next game for Cavalry is coming up
Saturday, April 16th at Tim Hortons Field.
Oh, facing off against the Forge for the first time this year. Kickoff is at 2 p.m.
Cavalry's continuing their travel through Ontario. So they're going to be playing Forge next week, and the week after they'll see themselves at York United. I almost said York 9. and then we will finally, Shafe, have Canadian Premier League soccer back in Calgary.
That's right. We welcome the boys home May 1st to ATCO Field. We'll be facing off against the champions, Pacific. That's going to be a real telltale sign of how the Cavalry are going to finish this season.
Pacific looks the team to beat this year. I mean, they've shown last year by beating Forge in the final and winning it all. You know, they lost a few players, but I think they've picked up a few key players as well. And they're going to be a tough, tough battle.
Get your tickets. May 1st, we'll be down there. Can't wait to see everyone down at the game.
Oh, she's hiding me there. Every girl face
That does it for another episode of the Bow River Brigade podcast, the first one of the season. Music is by local Calgarian musician Mitch Bellot. Visit him online at mitchbellot.com. That's MitchBellot.com. And stream his music wherever you get your tunes.
Yeah, and feel free to drop us a line anytime. You can find us on all social media platforms at BRBFooty. That's BRBFooty. Or drop us an email at brbfooty@gmail.com.
Get into the conversation, send your praise, send your hate mail. I like hate mail so much more. So please send it our way. And until next time, march on.
BRB.